Welcome to the jungle. A very good Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. We are live, as we always are, Monday through Friday, right in this time spot. Nice to have you here. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let's go to work. Let's get some stuff done. If you know what you want to talk about, obviously we have our main topic. We have the main issue of the day. Some serious challenges right now. And that is going to be a big part of the program. But there are some other things to talk about. I've got some good interviews coming up, and I would love to hear from you. Telephone number, toll free, 1-800-636-8686. Use it right now. My first interview is not until 40 past, so do not wait on that. XR4TI is here. I am here. We are here to do a show, do some work. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that too. My Twitter feed is located at Jim Rome. And you can email the program, as you know, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Monday is an ATP day. I'll hit that a little bit later on. In terms of the interviews, I've got Charles Robinson at 9:40 Pacific time. So about 35 minutes from right now. He is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. And off the very top, I want to say I'm somewhat conflicted about what's going on. Like, you consider everything that's going on right now, it's kind of hard to get worked up about some of the news of the day to at least hit that with the same sort of urgency. I'm not saying that it's irrelevant. I'm saying that some of the optics here are a little bit strange. But there is NFL news, so we will get into that. Charles Robinson joining me at 40 past. Next hour, head basketball coach of Florida State, Leonard Hamilton, to share his thoughts on what's going on right now in and around the world and his sport and his team. Also in the second hour, Marshall Newhouse. He is an offensive lineman for the Patriots. So we are front-loading. I've got three interviews in the first half of the program. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Y'all need to strap in. It's going to be a long ride. The new normal is upon us, and it's going to be like that for quite some time. You know, as an example, a lot has changed since I went off the air on Friday. A lot. I mean, almost too much to recap. Schools closing, school districts closing, restaurants, bars, gyms closing. A new reality is upon us, right? And it's not clear for how long it's going to be. So here's where things stand from a sports perspective. Pretty much everything is shut down and will be for quite some time. The CDC is recommending no gatherings of 50 or more people in the United States for the next 8 weeks. Let me repeat that very quickly. The CDC is recommending no gatherings of 50 or more people in this country for the next 8 weeks. So that means we're talking about the major professional sports coming back in May, right? Not exactly. Let's not get into that just yet. It's not quite as simple as getting the all clear and then throwing the switch and then every league is back. Suspending seasons is a lot faster than restarting seasons. And with everything we've learned over the weekend, all the leagues that we're talking about a possible 30-day suspension are probably going to kick that can even further down the road. That suddenly does not seem that realistic, does it? John Heyman, for instance, tweeted, quote, "The hope for April 9th MLB start date was always seen as a best-case scenario. And with developments over the past few days, based on talks with several execs today, any time before June would be viewed as welcome." End tweet. Any time before June would be welcome. And it's not like MLB is alone in this. According to Woj, the NBA is thinking about mid to late June as well. He tweeted, quote, "CDC recommendation of no events of 50-plus people for the next 2 months comes as a number of NBA owners and executives increasingly believe a best-case scenario is a mid-to-late June return to play with no fans. League scouting for possible arena dates all the way through August." End quote. So when the league was officially suspended on Wednesday night, and can you believe that? Yes, it was only Wednesday night. That happened on Wednesday night. It already feels like a lifetime ago. But when the league was initially suspended, the thinking had been there would be an opportunity to reevaluate the situation in 30 days. But a lot has changed since then. That 30-day window already seems to have gone out the window. According to Woj, the June return is the best-case scenario at this point. As one team president said, quote, "Our world has changed since Wednesday's Board of Governors call. The reality isn't lost on anyone right now," end quote. And then, continuing as Woj reported, quote, "Teams have been directed to give the league office potential dates at smaller nearby game venues, including team practice facilities that could spare the use of empty, cavernous arenas and possibly provide backdrops to unique television viewing lines," end quote. I mean, there's a lot in that. In other words, it's all up in the air, including where games are going to be played, when they're going to be played, if they're going to be played, how they're going to be televised, and what the schedule might look like for the rest of the season. And I think it's fair to question whether or not there will be a 2019-20 season after all this. The NBA also announced the cancellation of the rest of the G League season. And that's just the NBA. I mean, what about everything else? The expectation is the Kentucky Derby will move from the first Saturday in May. Boxing will either have to get creative with its venues or, according to Chris Mannix, have to move the Canelo fight, which was targeted for May 2nd. The NFL's got a new CBA, which I will get into a little bit later on, but even the NFL will be impacted. No gatherings of 50 or more for the next 8 weeks. So that's definitely going to impact the draft. And as you know, there's no way they could proceed with the draft in April in Vegas the way they would have liked. And they've already said as much. No gatherings of 50 or more people for the next 8 weeks. However, one crew is still saying full speed ahead for their event. And that crew is the Olympics. Because, and you know this about me, as I've always said, when the world is facing a global pandemic, what better idea than to get the entire world together in one location? That makes sense, right? No gatherings of 50 or more for the next 8 weeks here, or the entire world in the same location. John Coates, an International Olympic Committee vice president and head of the Australian Olympic Committee, told the Sydney Morning Herald that the Olympics are still a go for July. Try and make some sense of this. Let me read part of the AP article. Quote, "John Coates, who will have to go into government-mandated self-isolation when he returns to Australia this week from Olympic business in Europe, told the Sydney Morning Herald newspaper it's all proceeding to start on the 24th of July," end quote. All right, just so I have that part straight. The guy who's going into a government-mandated self-isolation is saying everything's cool and it's all fine and it's still a go. That, according to the guy who's going into a government-mandated self-isolation. Okay, it's fine. That's good. We got the Olympics. How do I know? Because the guy who has to go into government-mandated self-isolation just said so. Like, it's always tricky with the Olympics, right? Because you've got different people from different committees giving their takes. But that take from the guy who's about to go into a government-mandated self-quarantine is pretty curious, don't you think? Yeah, I know. July is a long way off from right now. It's a little more than 4 months off. And a lot can happen between now and then. Hopefully, good things. But given that we're talking about a global pandemic and training for the athletes, as well as qualification for the Olympic teams, is going to be impacted, I don't know, maybe you wait a minute or two. Maybe you wait a moment or two before you just up and declare that the Olympics are still on. This time last week, every major sport in the U.S. was either playing games or preparing to play games. Now, less than a week later, it's all been shut down. So, I don't know. Maybe our guy Coates ought to hold off on declarative statements like that for a moment or two. But again, this is only sports. There are much bigger things than games not being played. And this is the part where I want to talk to people who were still going out over the weekend and saying, "Hey, man. Not affecting me. Not impacting me. Not going to let the virus impact my St. Paddy's Day plans." You know, I'm young. I'm healthy. I'm not at risk. It's not going to get me. I don't need to concern myself with that. Business as usual, yo. Again, it's not about you, right? It's about senior citizens. It's about people with compromised immune systems. It's about the hospitals and making sure they don't get overwhelmed. It's about flattening the curve. I'm sorry if it bums you out, but it's not like you're being asked to perform some incredible feat of strength. You're being asked to stay home and watch Netflix. You know, stay home and sit on your couch. You're being asked to listen to the experts. And if you won't listen to the experts, how about this? Listen to somebody that you might want to listen to. Listen to Arnold, because he's in it with a thought or two as well. And for some reason, Arnold is shooting the video at his kitchen table with his donkey named Lulu and a mini horse named Whiskey.
Come on. See, the important thing is that you stay at home because there's a curfew now. Okay, no one is allowed out, especially someone that is like 72 years old. After you're 65, you're not allowed at the house anymore in California. So we stay home and we eat here. Right? Oh, yeah, that's yummy. I eat with the whiskey and there's Lulu. Lulu loves carrots. Whiskey loves carrots. I just had my little bit of vegan food. Oh, that was yummy, huh? Oh, see, that's what we do. We don't go out, we don't go to restaurants, we don't do anything like that anymore here. We just eat with whiskey and with Lulu, we have a good time, we get entertained. Look at that beautiful smile she has, huh? Oh yes, those are yummies, huh? And we have a good time eating here together. So much more fun than going outside. No more restaurants, okay? No more restaurants, forget all that. Public gatherings, restaurants, and all those gymnasiums. Out the window. We stay home. Okay, Whiskey, huh? You and I have your
all right, day. So if you won't listen to me, maybe you'll listen to Arnold and a donkey and a mini horse. If you won't listen to me, maybe you'll listen to Arnold, Whiskey, and Lulu. But if they can't convince you, maybe Coach O will.
For every winning team, a key to success is learning the playbook. That's true in football. And it's also true as we take on the coronavirus. The spread of the coronavirus is a serious matter. But there's a game plan for keeping residents as safe as possible. Everyone has a role to play as we face this challenge together. Cover your cough with your elbow like this. Wash your hands thoroughly, a full 20 seconds. If you're sick, stay home. If you think you should be tested, phone your health provider first. Avoid close contact with anyone who's sick. Protect your at-risk family members, including the elderly. If you're not at risk, take care as you go about your daily business. Get the facts now from coronavirus.gov and your state health department. We're all in this together. Let's team up to protect our health.
It's real now. This is real. Health experts Arnold and Coach O are telling you that it is. So act like it. 1-800-636-8686. That's the update. And in addition to that, I do want to talk about the NFL and the CBA and the way they're conducting their business right now, trying to conduct business as usual. Again, while I can't get as worked up about any of it at this point, I can still discuss the news and how it affects, for instance, TB43. And what the market is for him. I want to go back to Rudy Gobert. And a lot of people were really upset with Rudy Gobert and pointing the finger at him. And how I think that since that announcement that he had tested positive, he has done and said pretty much everything right. And we'll have that. And I know some of you are really at loss right now. You don't have sports. You don't know where to turn. And then there is that very, very small percentage of you that don't have sports. And therefore, you can't get down. And again, I'm not making light of any of this. You know this. You should know this by now. But for those of you looking for some action, looking for something to get down on, no names, James Kelly, there is something you can bet on. And I want to talk about music and how music fits into all of this. Charles Robinson coming up later on this hour. Next hour, Leonard Hamilton of Florida State, Marshall Newhouse from the Patriots. And phone lines are open. Use them. We've all heard of Casper. You know, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not-so-outrageous prices. From award-winning mattresses to pillows, sheets, duvets. Casper is transforming the way we sleep, one snooze at a time. And with Casper's current end-of-season clearance, you can save up to 20% on the mattress of your dreams. The Casper mattress is an award-winning balance of comfort and support. Four layers of premium foam are designed to provide pressure relief for all-night comfort. Keep your back aligned with Zone Support. It's designed to provide extra support. And as always, free shipping and free returns. You can save up to 20% on mattresses now through March 23rd, 2020. This offer expires on March 23rd at 11:59 Pacific Time. Save 10% off the Essential, 15% off the Casper, 20% off the Wave. Limit one offer per customer and order. Additional shipping fees do apply for Hawaii, Alaska, and certain areas of Canada. Please see casper.com/terms for additional terms and conditions. casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. All right, we're going to get interview heavy in the next hour or so, but there are open windows. You can call the program. You have your phone number. So as I mentioned, I was somewhat conflicted about how hard to hit the news when we've got this other thing. This other thing is way more important right now. But there is news. As an example, over the weekend, it did become official. The NFL Players Association approved the proposed CBA by a very narrow margin. 1,019 yes votes to 959 no votes. That's close. I mean, for something like that, really, really close. But what it does mean is there is going to be a deal that's going to run through 2030. It also means the 17-game regular season is coming. It means the two extra playoff teams are coming. It means the exhibition season will be shortened. It means the drug policy and disciplinary policies will be changing. And apparently it means that free agency is officially going ahead as scheduled. Now, on the one hand, I find that to be a little weird. I mean, just to be honest, it seems weird. And the reason it seems weird is it is weird. It's weird because you have that global pandemic and people are radically altering their lives and figuring out what it all means. So at that time, it seems kind of weird to be talking about Ryan Tannehill signing with the Titans, reportedly for $118 million with $62 million of it guaranteed. I mean, we can talk about it for sure, but it's hard for me to work up the same sense of urgency as to whether or not he's worth that money. What's the market for Tannehill? Did they overpay him? Hard for me to get that worked up about that part of the conversation or even the story at all when schools are closing and people are panic buying toilet paper. Kind of hard to know how to react to a two-year extension for Kirk Cousins and the Vikings when you see all that going on around you. Or how am I going to get really worked up about Atlanta's plan to release Devontae Freeman when I wonder if I've got enough water? Christian Kirksey's a damn good linebacker. I'll give you that. But I feel a little weird talking about him agreeing to terms with the Packers when we're looking at a situation where restaurants and gyms are closed. And that Arnold and his donkey and mini horse are telling us to stay home and not go there. Like, there are massive lines at airports, or there were over the weekend, as people try to get home. But also, Tampa Bay did put a franchise tag on Shaquille Barrett. So it is just kind of weird to be talking about all the changes in the world and in everyday life in the last few days. And then on top of that, you see the NFL just barreling along, completely oblivious and doling out franchise tags to Dak Prescott and Bud Dupree. Like, I know you're looking for an escape, but the world has already changed. Like Dak Prescott, for instance, being tagged is a big piece of news. In a normal world, it would be something that we would talk about. I just find it a little more challenging to get worked up about it right now. What I'm saying is the optics are a little weird. I mean, believe me, on the one hand, NFL news is great. It makes my life a hell of a lot easier. Believe that. But it's kind of absurd to be talking about the Giants placing a franchise tag on Leonard Williams when people are scrambling to find childcare for their kids. I mean, it's just kind of hard for me to roll right out here and ignore everything going on around me in the world and get right at Leonard Williams and what that means. Like, I'm not really sure, for instance, why the league feels like it's got to proceed with free agency at the very moment. Surely you can delay that just a little bit. I know the league loves its calendar, and I hate to keep going back and hammering that point, but there is a global pandemic. So maybe you shake that calendar up a little bit. It's already going to be adjusted because of the CDC recommendations that will impact the draft and will impact OTAs and will impact rookie minicamps. All those things were already being adjusted. So what's another adjustment? And yes, I do understand the argument that we don't know what the next 8 weeks will bring. So maybe it's better to get guys signed right now. And the teams don't need to meet face-to-face with elite free agents to know that they want to sign them. I get that. If there really are teams still interested in Tom Brady, if they can talk to him over the phone or they can Skype with TB43. They don't need to sit down with him in person. I get that. But for the vast majority of free agents, there is an in-person visit. And it seems kind of hard to figure out how those would happen right now, especially when the league has said that in-person draft prospect visits won't be happening. Let me stop right there for a minute. If you're not going to allow in-person draft prospects to visit, why are you allowing free agents to visit? What's the difference? That's confusing to me. And so is this tweet from Adam Schefter. Quote, "A glimpse of our world. With free agency on track for this week, some teams are planning to use private planes to fly in premier free agents. Still, those flights require pilots to leave home and work, and teams are not pleased about this." Teams are not happy with free agency this week. End of tweet. I don't even know what that means. You're not happy about it, but you're doing it. You're not happy about it, but you're using private planes to fly these people in. You're using private planes, but you're not happy that pilots have to leave home. What, were the planes going to fly themselves? Do you want to do business or not? Like, people are worried about their families and their futures, and the teams are bent that they've got to find pilots to fly private jets. Are you kidding me about that? Could you come up with a worse look for the league than that? Oh, you work at a restaurant, and you're concerned about your financial future, or you have a job in the service industry, and now people will not come to your place of employment, so you can't get paid. You're concerned about that. You're concerned about paying your bills. Yeah, I feel you, but I couldn't find a pilot for my private jet, so we're all pretty much the same, right? Kind of tone deaf. But the teams are saying it's not our fault. Who are they blaming? According to this tweet from Schefter, they're blaming the players. Quote, NFL says NFLPA would not provide consent to move league year per source. NFLPA says no one is traveling anyway. It's not football activity. It's deals. Everyone is working remotely. Let's do our business remotely. And this could get worse before it gets better. So do it now. End quote. Oh, except for one thing. NFLPA Executive Director Demora Smith told ESPN today the league never asked the NFLPA to push back the start of the business year. Confusing, right? Like, the hell is going on here? I don't know. Is it the NFL realizing that it's a bad look to continue with business as usual when absolutely nothing is business as usual? And are they trying to pin that one on the NFLPA? Like, the ink is barely dry on the new CBA, and the league is now blaming the Players Association for the league starting right now. I mean, I really am confused. I would love to sit here and tell you this is how it is and straighten it all out, but I can't. I'm confused about a lot of things. Like, as to why the league is starting right now in the middle of this pandemic, and I'm confused as to why Roger Goodell is nowhere to be found. And I'm confused as to why everybody is allegedly pissed off about it, but still are going on just as planned. Like, what's happening here? Is this a matter that the commissioner can't stop it? Or is it a matter of the commissioner not wanting to stop it? And if not, why not? Because the optics are not great, right? And there's a lot of inconsistencies and incongruencies and things that are not like the other. What are we doing here? 1-800-636-8686. All right, enough of me. I'm going to talk to somebody who might make some sense of it for us all. Charles Robinson is next up. Senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. What do we do with this? The world has changed. It just has and will be for the foreseeable future. But the NFL is and it's not. At least as it relates to free agency, it's not. Leonard Hamilton next hour. Marshall Newhouse also next.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's true. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I am back. Coming up next hour, head basketball coach at Florida State, Leonard Hamilton. Also next hour, an offensive lineman for the Patriots, Marshall Newhouse, talking about the CBA. Joining us now to talk about the NFL and everything around it, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. And as always, good friend of the program, he is Charles Robinson. Charles, before we get into the news of the day, how are you doing in the middle of everything that has been going on over the past few days?
There is no better time to be hermetically sealed in your home than if you are a reporter during the opening of NFL free agency. Let me tell you, I mean,
it's good point.
Sitting in your office anyway for, you know, 7 to 10 days on your phone, you know, all day long and locked into the internet. So at least for me, there's a little bit of, you know, synergy here. Unfortunately, I wish it was that way for everybody.
All right, so I appreciate that. Let me preface all of this by saying it does seem a little bit strange to be talking about the NFL CBA and free agency and franchise tags in the midst of a global pandemic, but let's get into it. First off, the league did announce this morning that the NFL draft will continue as originally scheduled in April, but there will be no public events. What's your reaction to that, and what is your sense as to what the draft might actually look like this year?
Well, you can see what's coming for the NFL, what's coming down the road. I mean, with the CDC essentially saying, like, you know, stressing that they would like organizers of large events to, you know, basically cancel any events that are over 50 individuals. I mean, the NFL's been rolling toward this. I think part of what's going on with the league right now, in spite of the fact that they went forward with, you know, free agency, I think they're sitting there saying, okay, well, now we have to start to think about OTAs. Are we, you know, are teams going to be able to get together, you know, full squads or bringing in all these guys, working out, having them in the facility, having team personnel in the facility, and not just facilities personnel, but you have to have medical personnel, training personnel, coaches. There's just a multitude of things the NFL is now grappling with. It can't really answer that OTA question right now. It can't really answer, hey, what if we get to the point where, with mini camps further down the road after the draft? What they can control is this one singular event, and they know at this point, particularly with MGM, Wynn, a number of the hotel consortiums and casino consortiums in Las Vegas closing down, we can't have our Las Vegas event for fans. Like, we can't have the fan experience as much as we would have loved to have done this. It's just not feasible, and you know, so they're just cutting that off now. There's, you know, taking that planning element out of the event. And right now what the league's looking at is, how do we make this essentially, it's a TV event now. That's what it will be. It will be for the broadcast audience from April 23rd to April 25th. I don't even think now the league knows exactly how it will structure the event or where the event will be held. That's all sort of going back to the drawing board right now. But I can guarantee you this will be 100% structured for of viewership and an online audience, a television audience, and that's exactly what the NFL is, that's what they're having to give in to right now and then figure out all the other surrounding details with the rest of its schedule in July.
Charles Robinson is joining us. He's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. One quick follow-up on that. Do you expect prospects to physically be there, or is that still being worked out?
It's fluid. That's fluid. I've been told prospect attendance is fluid. I've been told, you know, typically the way a draft is run, you know, you call in picks. So there are team personnel on location who are literally manning phones and have to turn in a card for you. You know, when you call in on a draft board or a draft war room, you're saying, here's the player we're taking. They spell the name out. I mean, this is literally a process that happens. You spell the name out to the person on the other end of the phone. They turn the card in. You know, so there is some element of infrastructure when it comes to people on the ground, on location. I've been told that's all fluid right now. The NFL is trying to figure out how it could engineer all of this without basically sucking in a massive amount of personnel into, you know, a draft space. And if they were to do that, how could you take the proper health and safety precautions? So if you're doing that just with the personnel to literally turn in the cards or run the event as it's run, I think you have to question whether or not you're going to get prospects involved in the draft and fly them in and whatnot. Remember, this was an event that was once held in hotel ballrooms.
Sure.
Okay, this was, we could be going back to the Pete Rozelle days of literally it happening in the ballroom of a Hilton or some other hotel, and it just be taken back to, you know, the footage you see in the 70s and 80s. So it's, this is wild stuff here for the NFL. Never confronted this before, and I'd say a lot of the lawyers and planners are going to earn their paychecks.
Charles Robinson is joining us. And then Saturday it was announced that the NFLPA approved the new CBA by a margin of just 60 votes. What do you make of the vote totals, and overall, what do you make of that new CBA?
Well, from what I understood, there were nearly 2,500 ballots sent out, and you know, almost 2,000 people voted, which is, I think the final total is off the top of my head, 1,978, I believe, and massive turnout. I mean, that's a significant turnout. You know, I think there was a moment where the union was a little worried, what if we only get 1,000 or 1,200 guys who vote on this, and we have 10 years of a labor agreement locked in by less than half of the membership that we reach out to. Well, that didn't happen. So I think they were happy about that. You know, the fact that it was so close, I think, speaks to really what this deal is. I mean, it is a classic sort of win-loss deal. There are guys at the top of the pay scale who it's not a great deal for them. You know, they don't want to see the 17th game added. They don't want to see, you know, some of the holdout and fining rules that are enacted. They are really frustrated, particularly people at the elite end of the pay scale, with the franchise tag not being touched. So a number of aspects that I think frustrated part of the membership. I think that leaked down into some of the middle class of the NFL that sat there and said, well, you know what, we're in a leverage point here. Why not just take it through the last year of the deal and fight when we have the most possible leverage to fight, which may be in a year. But then there's the other half. You got lower end guys, $100,000 extra a year if you're a minimum salary player. You get to the pension in 3 years instead of four, which means that for a lot of guys, it's now feasible to have an NFL career, a short NFL career, which is really what most NFL careers are, make a little extra money and get to the pension, which is a big deal. I think that's why you saw it essentially be a 50-50 vote. So I think there's relief, though, you know, on the league's part. I think there's relief on some part of the players in the union just to sort of have this done, particularly kind of seeing it go down right in this window when the stock market is swinging 5, 7, 10% in opposite directions each day. I think that made guys a little bit nervous about maybe where these TV deals could come in later.
Charles Robinson is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Charles, what about the Dallas Cowboys placing that franchise tag on Dak Prescott? You have been all over that story for months now. Is there any surprise on your part that he ended up getting tagged? And then how would you describe the way the negotiations have gone between Prescott and the Cowboys?
I mean, zero surprise. There's no surprise whatsoever that it went down like this. I felt like we kept recycling the same news over and over with Dak Prescott, and the reason why that kept happening was because there was no news. Essentially, since September, you had and you know, there was another offer that was extended in March by the Cowboys, essentially restructuring how some of the guaranteed money would work, amping it up a little bit. But Dak Prescott's camp sat there since September, and they said, look, we're at our leverage point here. He had a good season. We feel like his value has only risen. And now he's at a point where he's going to get paid on an exclusive franchise tag in you know, beyond $30 million. And then you're looking at, you know, I have to look at what the actual final exclusive numbers are at this point. But going into next season, that's 120% raise over, you know, his exclusive number this year. So he's approaching, you know, $37 to $39 million in a franchise tag next year. There was just no value to them doing it other than mitigating risk. And I don't think they're in the risk mitigation game right now. They're on the betting on themselves game. So that's worked out well for them. I think they're fine with it. The interesting thing was the Amari Cooper negotiation.
Right.
The Cowboys pushed the Dak franchise tag off really until the last minute. And Cooper's camp is sitting there going, the reason why they're doing this is because they want us to think there's a chance they cut a deal with Dak and then they use the tag on us. Was never going to happen. You know, Cooper's camp, Prescott's camp, they're talking. They know what's going on. Everybody involved knew that Dak was getting the tag. So, you know, Cooper will go to the market. But what's interesting is you talk to other NFL teams about Amari Cooper, and a lot of them think that his best deal lies in Dallas, that he's probably going to have his strongest market actually right where he is, even if he does go and test free agency a bit.
Charles Robinson joining us for a few more moments. All right, so what about the Patriots situation? You had a great piece on Tom Brady and the Patriots last week, and it included the following line, quote, "When it comes to committing to each other in 2020 and beyond, the communication between Brady and Belichick is slamming into a force field of passive aggression," end quote. Like, on the one hand, it's pretty obvious why they would be passive aggressive with each other, but on the other hand, how did they let it get to this point?
In some ways, it's mystifying. You know, I have an individual inside the Patriots I've talked to throughout this, and one of the things, he got to the point where he was surprised that it had really elevated to this point. But one of the things that he said to me was, you know, there's a feeling amongst some people in the building that, hey, this is what Tom set up. This is what he wanted. He opted out of his deal. He wanted to get to this doorstep of free agency. So it's incumbent upon Tom to tell us as an organization, the Patriots, what do you want? Like, what do you want, Tom? Like, what do you want financially? What do you need in terms of support? You know, what you need to tell us, whether it's even emotionally, if we're really going to go there and turn this into a session on the couch, you need to lay it all out on the table. Tom wasn't really doing that. Tom was disconnected in the process. And I think that frustrated Bill Belichick. I think it frustrated the Patriots a little bit. And then I think at the same time, Tom was looking at the Patriots saying, okay, let's go. Come on, pursue me. Come at me. Tell me how important I am. Make me these, you know, you need to come and get me. And that's just not the Patriots style. Now, what aided the Patriots is, as I think this pressed on, they knew Tom's market wasn't this robust 4, 5, 6 team market that it was sort of played out to be, that ultimately it was probably going to come down to being the Chargers and the Buccaneers, particularly once they found out that Ryan Tannehill, there was pressure in talks by the Titans to get a Ryan Tannehill deal done. And I think they also knew the 49ers weren't going to make a serious run at Tom. So, you know, there's a little bit of gamesmanship that's gone on behind the scenes, but it's still, I don't think it's a good scenario for the Patriots that now Tom Brady can listen to both the Chargers and the Buccaneers and let those teams make their best pitch for him.
So bottom line, if you had to say it right now, how do you think it's going to play out?
Interestingly enough, I think that the coronavirus, not to inject something trite into this whole thing, I actually think that it's something that aids the Patriots potentially re-signing Tom, and this is why. If Tom goes to a place like the Los Angeles Chargers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, making that change at, you know, he's going to be 43 years old, makes the off-season passing program, the OTAs, all of this off-season work at an absolute premium, because he's going into a new place where he has to learn new people, and there's a new offense being installed. There is a lot of work to be done with Tom Brady from the point he signs into the opening of training camp. Well, if all of a sudden this starts to get put off because the NFL is yielding to necessary health and safety concerns, what does that mean? It puts teams at disadvantages that are going to roll out the red carpet for a two-year window. Well, guess what? Part of your two-year window is about to be clipped by a significant health and safety issue that's sweeping the country. What's the one team that doesn't necessarily have to worry about that offseason program with Tom Brady? The one that has its entire offense curved to Tom Brady for two decades, that's the New England Patriots. I still put the Patriots as being a team, even with Tom Brady allowed to test the market, as being a team that could potentially get him back. But I'll tell you what I think it's going to take. It's going to take Robert Kraft coming in, sort of saving the day and saying, look, we wanted to be respectful of Tom, let Tom do his process, but the truth is, we've always wanted him. We got to get him back here. I think Robert Kraft's the one who's got to bring this back together.
I think that's a good thought. I can see that happening. He's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is a co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Good friend of the program, frequent contributor on this show, Charles Robinson, my guest. Charles, really appreciate that. Good intel. I appreciate that time very much.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Jim, and stay safe.
Stay safe. Great to have you back, and I do appreciate it. Charles Robinson talking about the state of affairs in the NFL right now. Business, the draft, free agency, Dak Prescott, how that impacts Amari Cooper, and of course Tom Brady. I thought the point he made at the very end is really interesting, that if you're Tom Brady and you've got to move on to something new and learn a new system, work with new coaches, get familiarized, and because the way the world is setting up right now, all that's going to get pushed back, further complicating your acclimation. Why would he not stay where he is right now? All right, looking ahead to hour number two, a couple interviews coming up. Leonard Hamilton at 20 past. Marshall Newhouse of the Patriots at 40 past and an open segment coming up next. 1-800-636-8686.